This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
John chapter 4, we're going to read some verses and then we're going to make some comments here. This, of course, is the story of the woman at the well that Jesus ministered to. In verse 5, he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, which is the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour of the day. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan?" Of course, there was great prejudice between the Jewish people and the Samaritans, who were half-breeds and rejected by the Jewish people. So she was amazed that he would even talk to her, for Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, she says in verse 9. Jesus answered and said to her, If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. So the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing with which to draw with, then the well is very deep. How then will you get this living water for me? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks from the water, from this water, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, for the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I will not thirst, nor come here to draw." And so she's a little confused as to what he's actually talking about. And he, of course, is talking about he's at Jacob's well. The Bible tells us here that he's tired. He's exhausted, so he sits by the well and rests while the disciples go into the town to buy food. I'm sure the disciples didn't appreciate that, since they don't have any dealings with Samaritans. He sent him in to buy food, and so they had to overcome their prejudices. But he's sitting there, and he's weary, he's hungry, he sent them for food, and he's also thirsty. And so our Lord had these are physical needs that every man, including our Lord, had. And so he asks her if she would give him some water that would quench, and he promises her that he could give her water that would quench her thirst forever. So he's not speaking of the physical water, because he's asking her for a drink of it, the physical water, because he's physically thirsty. But he is telling her there is another water which can satisfy your thirst, a different kind of thirst, and it'll be an everlasting quenching of that thirst. So this is going to be something that is quite different than what she is thinking. He's not thinking of the natural needs, but he is thinking of her spiritual needs, and of course her emotional needs and her psychological needs, which are all part of her life and all part of the driving forces that control her life. Her spiritual need, her psychological need, her emotional need, these are the needs of the soul the inward man. And these needs drive people to make the decisions they make and to make the choices they make and to do the things that they do. Now, she had gone, as we learn, if we continued reading on in this story, we would discover that she had gone through five husbands. She'd been married five times, and she had a sixth man that she was now seeing, and perhaps they were going to be married in the future or not. We don't know that. But she had gone through five relationships already and was on her sixth, hoping to find satisfaction from them for her inward person. Now, these are five husbands. We don't know. Maybe there was some boyfriends sprinkled in between there. But whatever it is, she has gone in her life from man to man to guy and so forth. And she is searching for something. She is searching for those inner needs that she has to be fulfilled, and she is looking at a man to do it. She is looking at some guy to be the solution. Obviously, it's not working because she's gone through five and she's working on number six. But she needs, she has this strong desire. She's a woman. She's a responder. She has a strong desire to be loved. She has a desire to be appreciated. And she feels that a man will be the solution to that need. She doesn't think it through, because most people don't. You don't think it through objectively. It's something you feel on the inside. They're just drawn to it. Without thinking it through, they're drawn to it. And everyone thinks, well, I need that to be fulfilled, to be satisfied. And then, so in her life, and we'll just use her for the example here, in her life, she goes along and she meets some charmer, some gentleman who comes along. He says the right things to her, and guys learn very early in life what are the things that a woman wants to hear said. And he says the right things to her, and this gets her imagination going. This gets her imaginations going, and the Bible warns us of vain imaginations, empty imaginations. And that's what takes place, Romans 1:21. They had empty or vain imaginations when they thought there was no God. And in Psalm 119, verse 113, the psalmist said, I hate vain imaginations. I hate them. I hate vain thoughts. So her imaginations get caught on fire. They get kindled. And she begins to think of this guy who's sweet-talking her as, this could be the one who's really going to fulfill me in my life. And she starts imagining and even fantasizing over it. And her imagination filters out reality. She has a very difficult time evaluating his character, evaluating what he's really like. She only sees a storybook romance coming on, and she's going to be the princess, and he's going to be the Prince Charming, and it's going to work out, and she's going to be happy all the days of her life. This is all going on in her imaginations, and this is of one way or another. So she calls it love. She calls it love. If she's a Christian, she'll say it's from God. She can't be talked out of it. And she is attaching her soul to him, to this person. And we say these things this evening based upon countless times of having these types of situations in our church environment, people that we know, people through the years, who have had exactly this kind of thing happen to them. They meet somebody, they're sweet-talked by them, all of a sudden they think they're in love, and they attach their soul to this person. They have to have this person. This person is the answer to their prayers. And this is their true soulmate. He just came into their life. And sometimes in years gone by, sometimes with a nice Christian girl, she finds a guy, he's not even a Christian. But it doesn't matter to her. He doesn't have a job. That doesn't matter to her. He hasn't had a job in years. Doesn't matter to her. He has a little drug problem. That doesn't matter to her. He's got all kinds of other issues. That doesn't matter to her at all. He's the one. He's going to fulfill my dreams. He's the one. He's the one God has given me. And so the imaginations go weird. You try to counsel them. You try to talk to them. You can't talk them out of it. They attach their soul to this person. It's a soul attachment. In our ministry, we call it a soul attachment. It's attaching your soul to something that, in my mind, in my perception, I think is going to be the answer to my needs. And so my soul attachment, a soul attachment then, if I have a soul attachment for this person, then I elevate their importance in my life. This person is very, very important in my life. And how they treat me is going to determine how I feel. If they pay attention to me, I feel so elated and giddy. If they don't, I'm depressed and disappointed and bummed out. How they treat me, I'm becoming almost codependent upon what they think of me and how they treat me. And do they call me? Do they pay attention to me? Are they looking at me? I'm attaching my soul to them. It's a soul attachment. So, some guys enjoy that in this case. Some guys enjoy having power over the lady because he knows that she's attaching herself to him. He senses it. He may not be able to explain it like we're explaining it tonight, but he senses the power he has over her. He may enjoy that. Other men would run from that. They don't want to be attached to by that. And it depends on where the guy is at. But if he enjoys it, he'll use his power to control her. And he pretty much can control everything about her. Where she works, where she lives, what she does, how she spends her time, how she spends her money, everything about her, he has power over her, and he can influence it now because she has attached her soul to him. And she doesn't realize it. She's put herself in bondage to him. But she thinks it's love because she's deceived by her own emotions. So he uses the power to control her, and of course that means anything he wants, he gets. She doesn't want to risk losing him. So whatever he wants, she's going to give him because she does not want to lose him. If they marry eventually, or if they stay together, eventually reality will creep back in. Eventually reality will come back in and she will realize. And if it's reverse, if it's him who's attaching himself to a her, eventually reality creeps back in and they realize that this has not done it. And that marriage this relationship did not fulfill my need. It did not bring me the satisfaction I was hoping for. They realize that. And at that point, we could say in context with what we read this evening, he or she will thirst again. They found something that they thought was going to bring great satisfaction to them, but they're going to thirst again. It's going to run out. It's not going to be what they thought it was going to be. And because the inward need was not really met. The soul then that has been attached to this person all this time perhaps will attach itself now to the kids, if there's kids in the family now. And so all of a sudden she unplugs from him and plugs into the kids. Now the kids are everything in her life. Everything, it's all about the kids. Life is all about the kids. The kids control everything because my soul is attached now to my children. Maybe if you don't have children, maybe my soul is attached to my pets.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for